Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have an unusual show today. I'm going to use the first 15 minutes to update on issues related to the border because I regard this as the end of America. I think you can understand what's been going on since the fake Biden occupied the White House. George Soros has been the acting president of the United States, which explained what the hell is going on. It's completely outrageous. We have a court now blocking the Biden admin policy of releasing illegals into the U.S. without court dates as Title 42 expires. A federal judge in Florida has issued a two-week restraining order on the Biden admin policy of releasing illegals into the U.S. without court dates just hours before Title 42 is due to expire. Judge T. Kent Weatherall, the second appointee of former President Trump, issued a temporary restraining order Thursday night against the Biden admin's new parole policy that would have replaced Title 42. It comes into place at 11:59 p.m. Thursday, last night. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, who sued the Biden admin, announced the ruling. We took swift action to protect the American people from Biden's unlawful plan to release thousands of illegals when Title 42 lifts in an hour. Moody argued the new policy is materially identical to a similar program known as Parole Plus Alternatives to Detention, deemed unlawful by a Florida court in March. Judge agreed, writing in his ruling the policy was materially indistinguishable from Parole Plus ATD, both in its purpose to reduce overcrowding and manner of operation. There's more going on here I shall not elaborate upon, but look at this. Video purportedly shows the illegal aliens opening DHS packets with smartphones. Some court dates not until 2035. Title 42, the Trump-era pandemic health restriction, became a key tool in turning back illegals at the border, has officially come to the end. Video and images from the border, however, are disturbing. Independent journalist Taylor Hansen released a clip showing illegals opening up packets from DHS, including government-issued smartphones and directives to appear to court dates at many years in the future. Here's Taylor Hansen tweeting. Brownsville, Texas. Migrants open DHS packet and use their government-issued cell phones after being processed and receiving court dates. Some migrants have shown me their court dates are as far out as 2027. Rebecca Brannon, another independent journalist, posted images of illegals using smartphones and reviewing directives to attend court dates as far out as 4 years from now. She also noted some of the illegals she spoke to weren't simply from South America, but also Chinese nationals. After a brief initial processing, migrants are given papers for notice to appear. Most court dates I've seen are dated in 2027, 4 years from now. Some are given new phones and a bus ticket to a state where they provided an address of a sponsor family already here in the country. There's a whole lot about it going on here. I shall not belabor. Meanwhile, federal judge made clear who is to blame for the border crisis, halt Biden's migrant parole program. For 2 years, the Biden admin has released migrants without giving them a court date. Through the Alternatives to Detention program, migrants without a court date are tracked and required to check in.
Hello?
Thank you. For 2 years, the Biden admin has released migrants without giving them a court date. Through the Alternative to Detention program, migrants without a court date are tracked and required to check in using a phone application. The program was designed to prevent migrants from disappearing into the shadows while they await their court dates. Late say just hours, the district judge Weatherall ordered the Biden administration to stand down, but the White House has already made it clear, by the way, that even though the Republicans are making an effort to control the border, he is going to veto it, as I say. If you want to get a grip on what's going on, just think of George Soros as acting president. His dream has been to destroy America in his lifetime, which is coming to an end, as is America now. The rest of the show is going to be devoted to an exchange between various students of false flag events and other of us who may believe have gone further than they think the evidence warrants. Paul, who's a regular caller to the show, of course, arranged this. He has a lineup. I'm going to invite Paul to give us an introduction and tell us what's going on here, what he's got in mind, and move forward on that basis, where Brian Davidson and I are going to do our best to respond. So, Paul, I want you to go ahead right up to the break now for the next 15, 20 minutes or so and lay out the case. And after the break, Brian and I will do our best to respond. Go for it, Paul.
Jim, I wanted to thank you, first of all, for having the show today. I would love to title it Unite the Right 2.0, but it won't be in Charlottesville, and Heather Heyer is already gone. So I recently...
Paul, you might want to pull your camera down just a tad because we can't really quite see you, but and we just lost your audio.
Yeah, hang on a second. I got to park. I was driving, so give me a second here.
Go for it.
Okay, so I have to hold the phone in a certain way. So to continue, I had a conversation recently with both Dave and Mike, and they believe, for example, that Buffalo may be real. The shooting in Buffalo may be real, and also perhaps the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand. And also, as well, perhaps, even aspects of some of the others recently. I personally don't believe any of these are real myself, but I must admit I have not really looked into it. And that's why I thought maybe it would be interesting to come on with you and we could have a back and forth discussion. So, Mike, have I mischaracterized anything so far? Or do you, am I correct in assuming that you do believe the Buffalo shooting was real?
Yeah, I think the Buffalo shooting was real. Can you hear me?
Very good. Nice, clear statement, Mike. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, again, Jim, I've not looked into. I've only heard you talk about it. I must be honest. Many, many years ago, I sort of lost a lot of interest in looking into these shootings myself because of the fact that time after time after time after time, they all turned out to be fake. And, I mean, just let's start with the basic premise of you know, most homicides are crimes of passion, and in most cases, the victim is known to the perpetrator. I'm sure you're aware of this. And the idea that somebody would go to a school and shoot children, in my opinion, is absurd. That's why they have to fake it. I'm not saying it never happened. I just don't know of any that I believe are real, including Columbine, by the way, because quite a few years ago, I got a video audio packet from Sophia Wallstrom called Columbine Redacted. And I don't know how many people are familiar with that, but if nobody has seen it, I would highly recommend it because it, in my opinion, kind of calls into question the authenticity of the Columbine shooting. And that was, I believe, in 1999. As a matter of fact, I think it does a little bit more than calls into question the authenticity. And again, it makes use of, similar to the expose and the Oklahoma City bombing, but makes use of both local coverage and then national coverage, showing the difference, of course. And then also it's clear on one of the video shots that they use dummies. So they show like a law enforcement officer dragging what is clearly a dummy, similar to Vegas, for example. Mona Alexis Presley recently made me aware of a 30-part video series. She says she watched them all. I've watched one so far. It was a half hour in length. I plan to watch others. But the one so far that I watched was absolutely devastating to the case that anything, you know, authentic happened in Las Vegas. It was all staged. And I know just the other night, Mike Fletch made a comment to me about, well, I suppose there were 10,000 crisis actors. But no, that's not the way it was done. So I'm not saying that nothing ever happens to anybody ever. I mean, I'm not going to have lunch with Elvis and, but, you know, here's the thing is you, and then two, and then three, and then four, and then 100+ times probably the boy has cried wolf. You have to start questioning exactly, you know, when and where this wolf is that we're supposed to be in fear of. Because I think it's part of what we call, what Michael Hoffman called processing in his books, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. Basically, what these people like to do is to process us. And interestingly, that's the name of a church that was covered quite, shall we say, thoroughly in the book, The Ultimate Evil by Maury Terry. In fact, I would highly recommend that book to anybody who has not read it. And he talks in there about the process church. And that was a book that in the main exposed the Son of Sam killings as not what we thought. I'm not saying that those weren't real, but they certainly were not what we were told and that Berkowitz was not a lone shooter.
Now, Paul, not to disrupt your narrative. Is Scorpio also joining us? Because I understand he and Mike both share similar views that some of these were either mixed or real shootings and that Brian and I and Danny have been mistaken about it. I've done a huge amount on Las Vegas with Scott Bennett as well. And I just want to know, will Scorpio be joining us? I did send him the link.
Yeah, he texted me and said he was going to be running late, and I'm not sure when he is going to join. I hope he does. I texted him back and said to join us when he can. But yeah, it's funny because I was just going to say at the beginning of the show, the way this came about is I ratted him out to you because if you recall about a week or so ago, I mentioned to you that he believed probably real, and you had a hard time believing that. And so I thought we might have a little fun here. I was going to call it a mutiny on the good ship Fetzer.
So how many participants? We have Mike Sledge, I think, on the radio. We don't have Scorpio, but we got Clint here. And you, Paul, please tell us a little more about the background so we can proceed. But I'm very interested in, you know, the overall take here about these various false flags. I, of course, have brought together groups of experts and published books about quite a few of them, including Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland. I put together a book that's not been published on Las Vegas More recently, of course, Brian and I and others have done work on Buffalo, on Uvalde, on Nashville. I'm interested in which of those your team, let's call it, are skeptical about. If I declare on behalf of us that all of those appear to be completely staged where nobody died. So I'm very interested in just a big picture here, Paul.
I think that it's fair to say that, you know, obviously you don't immediately come to the conclusion that every single thing is fake, but in most of the ones that we've examined, and let's face it, they did come at a pace at one point, if you recall, not that many years ago, it seemed like they were coming once every week or two, and it was almost impossible to keep up on. But again, I come from the point of view of this, so I'm firmly with you on all of this, because once you discover the fakery, I mean, I go all the way back, as I mentioned before, to 1983, when I went to a lecture by G. Edward Griffin about our money. It was called the History of Money, and it was 6 hours in total, and so I found out the money system's fake. Right. I mean, the money system is basically, you know, a counterfeiting operation. And then you move forward to everything else, the moon landing and 9/11, Sandy Hook and so on and so on. And, you know, the Orlando Pulse nightclub that you covered, the Boston bombing. So each and every single time these things turned out to not be authentic. And my premise is probably similar to yours. That if it's real, if it's an authentic event, then why would there be any indications of fraud? And yet we do find indications of fraud, or at the very least anomalies in these shootings, and that immediately calls them into question. So I'm not saying nobody's ever been shot at a shopping mall, because that is certainly true. People have, and you can watch some of these things on YouTube, but they're mostly, a certain ethnicity, shall we say. And that may be the case here in this recent shooting in Dallas with the black Hispanic Nazi. But I personally don't believe it for a second, because it just fits their narrative. And I don't know how much you've done on this recent Dallas shooting, Jim, but you could probably tell us your opinion on that one.
Well, Danny and I think Brian has had less opportunity to review, but I mean, we're certainly of the opinion that it was another staged event. Why don't you bring in your participants here to offer some views of theirs, Paul? Shall I continue to moderate, or would you like to do this?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of more on your side, but I'm open, because I will definitely admit that I have not myself personally investigated most of these recent shootings. I've listened to you and others talk about them.
Well, listen, since we got Mike on the phone, he was unable to connect by Zoom. Let's begin with Mike. Mike, go ahead. Give us just a general overview of your take, what you want to debate with us today, please.
Sure. And thanks for having me on, Jim. Always a pleasure to chat with you. And it's I love your work, and it's an honor to be on your show, man, again. So thanks.
Well, I'm glad to have you, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, let me add, by the way, I don't learn from those who agree. I learn from those who disagree. So I welcome criticism and debate. So I'm not at all opposed to this idea. When Paul brought it up, I bought it immediately. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that I agree with all your work on the Sandy Hook case. I think it was brilliant. I agree that Sandy Hook was a total fraud 100%. That's not what I'm here to question at all today. I also agree with your work on the Boston bombing. I think that was excellent as well. And I've read your works on those. I think they're brilliant, and they're very good works. Having said that, I do think the events that I think were actually real were the Buffalo shooting, okay, and this latest shooting I think was real. Now, what I mean by real is I still believe they were false flags, okay? I still believe they were coordinated with intelligence agencies and the government most likely, and they were false flags. But I do believe people died. So my position on the Buffalo shooting and the Allen, Texas mall shooting is that they fit a narrative that is very fishy, that helps promote the anti-white agenda, and it also helps promote gun control and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, my position is I've seen the footage. I've seen also the footage of the truck running over the migrants or illegal aliens sitting on the sidewalk. That was definitely real. Those people were mangled up and killed. So my position is this. I believe the way that they – because here's the deal. I think the Sandy Hook – I think they overreached so far on Sandy Hook and even Vegas and the Boston bombing that they lost a lot of credibility with the totally fake staged events. So I think they've gone back to their original style of false flag events, and that is they find someone online who through Discord chats, through other chats, through other sites, social media that they already profiled as unstable, is mentally ill in most cases, maybe already on antidepressant drugs or bipolar or schizophrenic medication. They then target that individual online. They then send an agent working for the feds around the same age to befriend said person. And then they groom that person and brainwash that person over a period of time until they're literally pushed over the edge through maybe other drugging or other types of medications being involved or pushed on them. And then central intelligence brainwashing techniques. And they then push the person over the edge. And this person basically snaps and commits a crime, and then they neutralize, eliminate the person that they groomed. So there's no loose ends, and it's actually controlled and ran by just a small handful of black bag intelligence operatives. And that's what I think we saw in the Allen, Texas mall shooting, and in the Buffalo shooting.
Okay, you think Buffalo and Allen, Texas were legit? Clint, you want to side in and give us your take on some of these issues?
Yeah, I agree with everything Mike said, and I just want to state that I respect you and all the work you've done so far on Sandy Hook, and I think your intentions are good. But I think potentially, I don't know for sure, I have to examine this myself, but I think some of the people possibly around you are trying to steer you in the direction of everything is fake because it will discredit the hard work you've done on Sandy Hook.
Everything is fake.
Nobody dies. Because, like, the Vegas stuff was orchestrated, okay? I think people died, okay? Was it organic? Was it Stephen Paddock? No. But, I mean, all evidence I've seen and I've examined this stuff is people die. People died at Buffalo, okay? People die all the time. This government has no problem hurting people, torturing people, and this argument that nobody dies in any of this stuff. Sandy Hook, yeah. Some of these other things, quite possibly. But in general, I think it's more helpful to divide it into three categories. You know, nobody died, but Sandy Hook. People died, but it was inorganic, like Buffalo and possibly the school shootings. Okay, and then the other one is where it's completely organic. And last thing is that I think older people have a really hard time understanding and empathizing with someone who's so mentally disturbed, like some of these, you know, transgender people who are young. They eventually realize they have no future and they have no morals. So they want to take out their pain and suffering on anybody. And just like in war, it's easier to kill people you don't associate with. That's the kind of mentality that these kids and other people get into. And it's very hard for older people to understand that because they grew up in a completely different world, essentially. Thanks.
So you think Nashville was legit, too? This was a transgender woman who shot up the school and killed three kids and three adults?
Well, imagine, you know, that kid probably came from a broken home. You know, they're, 15, 16. They'll never have a chance to feel real love with someone of the opposite gender. I mean, their life is essentially over. And they're also more than likely being groomed in these Discord servers and elsewhere, and filled, you know, their very unstable heads filled with ideas by the government and government agents. So you take a very mentally unstable and broken person that realizes they have no future, and you groom them. It's very simple. I really believe in it. I would say it's completely true that I find it sad, really, that, you know, I don't sympathize with people who do this kind of stuff, but I think it's very dangerous to not understand that people are dying of these things, okay? And that these people are mentally deranged. We have a whole society that is deranged by and large and has very little morals. So it should not be surprising at all that this type of stuff happens. And I actually take the attitude that I think it's surprising that this stuff doesn't happen more often. And the only reason it doesn't happen more often is because most people are still so ignorant and delusional that they think they have a future in this anti-white, evil, insane system that's ran by literally pedophiles.
Well, let me say, yeah, sure, there's a plausible background story there. But let me ask specifically, have you watched any of my programs on either Buffalo or Las Vegas or New Zealand or Nashville? Have you seen those? You have. So you understand that we seem to have two different people. We got the 28-year-old woman with the long neck, and then we got the shooter with the short neck. He appears to be an 18-year-old boy. He's wearing one kind of sneaker coming in and a different when he's on the ground there, that the school's completely empty, the parking lot's bereft. That this may appear to – I'm having a hard time if you actually know that evidence.
Let's focus on the Buffalo shooting, because that's the one I spent the most time on watching with you and your guests. And my gripes are that one of your points of evidence is that nobody was killed in the produce aisle. And I know this is a little offensive, but those types of lower income types of people, they're not necessarily going to eat that type of food. And that's why most of them were killed in the Doritos and soda aisle. I know it sounds kind of funny, depending on who you are, but it is true. And another point that was made was that, that there are all these cars in the parking lot and there weren't that many people in the grocery store. Well, I've lived in lower income neighborhoods. That happens because sometimes cars break down and they don't want to pay a tow truck to move them. Okay, or they leave it there to catch the metro. So there's a lot of very simple explanations to evidence that was provided as being kind of like, you know.
Hold that thought, Clint. We're going to a break and we come back. Ryan and I will see if we can muster some responses, some of the comments you've already made. We're glad to have everyone here. We're debating issues about how far false flags go. Is it true people don't actually die or if they've fixed events or something else going on? We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I certainly appreciate Paul organizing this. I think it's such a great idea. And Clint is making a very clear statement. Danny Siras could not be with us, but he sent the following message. "Sir, I can't make it on Friday. Sorry. I was busy today, so I did not get your voicemail until late. I can't make it on Friday. Sorry, I'm sure Brian will do a good job. How anyone can argue New Zealand was real is absurd. You have the CGI video. Buffalo was ridiculous. This latest Texas mall event was almost comical. I sent you several emails on it, plus we have a phony crisis actors whose story are not just possible, are just not possible. The shooter is reported as 32 years old, but comes up as a ghost yet again. Maybe next week we can do a follow-up. I will listen to Friday's show sometime this weekend when I can talk to you soon. Brian and I, of course, have done our false flag stage event checklist, which goes through with a whole lot of signs how you can tell whether or not one of these events is real or not. You can download it online, especially at my blog at jameshfetzer.org, where there are lots of links embedded. Now, as far as this general idea, you know, of all these shootings being false, we're talking about maybe a dozen or 15 over a period of a dozen or 15 years. Virtually, we're talking about roughly one a year. And when you consider the vast number of shootings, I mean, look at the week of 1 May to 7 May. They had, 49 shooting incidents in Chicago. Now, neither Brian or I or Danny doubt the authenticity of those shooting events. You multiply them, we're getting thousands of shooting events every single year. And, of course, as you're well aware, I'm doing my best to bring together groups of experts to sort things out. So that I just want to get in Danny's point of view. We're going to look at very specifically at what happens here with Buffalo, where Brian has done simply superlative work. But let me give you Clint and Mike, and Paul seems to have disappeared. I presume he'll be back.
I'm here on the call, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Paul. That's good. Okay. That's good. So, Clint, go ahead and give a further comment.
Yeah. First, I want to ask. Danny Sears is a cop, right?
35 years in law enforcement. Yeah.
Okay. So, at all these fake shootings, the cops have to be in on it, correct?
You have stage. The Connecticut State Police were actually running Sandy Hook behind the scene in Boston. Okay, so let me just add a few details here. In Boston, they were actually keeping real physicians away from the crisis actors because it would have been obvious that they were amputees and the whole thing was a fraud. I mean, they were on the payroll. FEMA comes down and pays huge money to these communities to conduct these events. In the case of Sandy Hook, Newtown, $140 million. The participants get all kinds of fringe benefits. They don't pay taxes. They can get free college. They sign non-disclosure agreements. You know, people often ask, well, why hasn't someone come forward? The fact is the whole damn community was in on it. They're getting big bucks. It's a gravy train. And in the case of Newtown, Eric Holder came down by my sources, which are quite good, in 2006 at the school we had concluded was closed by 2008, but it appears to have actually been closed by 2006. It wasn't even an elementary school. It was a special needs school. I could go on in great detail, but the families who didn't want to be a part of it actually moved out of Newtown. Now, some of these, I think they're getting more reckless. I don't think this Allen thing was very well constructed. Right. Nashville was pretty much of a farce. But I know you want to focus on Buffalo, and Brian has done such sensational work. I want you to say more, and then Mike, and then Paul, and then we'll turn to Brian. Go ahead, Clint.
If I can just jump in for a second here real quick, Jim.
Okay.
I'll be really quick. Okay, so in general, law enforcement is not trustworthy, but we're supposed to trust a cop for 35 years who is steering you in the direction of all these shootings are fake. Me personally, I don't buy it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. I mean, as I mentioned in my opening statement, having researched intelligence operations, black bag operations, false flags for about 30 years, I've learned a lot researching that. And one of the first things they do, the reason you're not going to find a lot of these shooters in the database is because, number one, most of the times, even though it's a false flag event, they groom a mentally ill person to commit the actual crime. Then what they do is they do the same thing to that person the same way they do in the intelligence community. They scrub their stuff online. Okay, so by the time the event takes place, their info is already scrubbed, so they can control the narrative out of the central office. And that's the reason why you can't find a lot of these people in a database, is because after the shooting, because it was coordinated, it was a false flag, their info is scrubbed. So the reason you're not going to find a lot of these people's names or information is because the reason I just stated, it's an intelligence operation. It's a black bag operation, and they scrub the info online.
Mike, let me just respond briefly, and then I'll go to you, Paul.
Thank you.
Danny's a serious guy. I've known this guy for a very long time. I've never known him to be wrong about any of this. He's very thorough. He's very meticulous, documents his sources, send me stuff all the time. I don't believe law enforcement generally is corrupt. I believe some cops on their off duty are willing to make a few extra bucks. I think some of these people are fake cops. You had a SWAT team going into the Nashville. That was a training drill, then presented as live as though it were a real event. And this idea that we can't trust Danny because he's law enforcement is just unbelievably indefensible. That's just ridiculous. Well, I would stand by Danny 100% to the end of time.
Sure,
now,
Jim,
wait a minute, Mike. I'm going to come to you. Yeah. Now, the alternative is, sure, you're giving an explanation for why, but the other is very plausible. They just make up these characters. They don't have real histories. because of his background in law enforcement, he has access to a whole lot of data about people. He's used to doing searches. He's turning up dry that they're ghosts because they don't appear to exist. And frankly, when you look at these events and you find they're constructed, they're artificial fabrications, I think his argument makes a whole lot more sense than yours, even though, of course, you can have individuals who are groomed and blah, 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 just as you're suggesting. Paul, yours, and then I want to go to Brian. Paul.
Right. So, okay, thanks. So, yeah, there's a problem with this premise that Mike just laid out. And here's the problem with it, because among the things that he said were, for example, that they find these mentally ill or somehow these patsies to do the actual work. Well, no, you can't rely on those people. Let's just for the fun of it, and I'm sure you're very familiar, Jim, with the RFK assassination. I'm not denying that MK Ultra and the MK Ultra program doesn't exist. Okay, it's very well researched, and I've actually read a couple of books about it. I've listened to many shows starting way back in the 80s. But in the RFK assassination, obviously they couldn't or they didn't trust Sirhan Sirhan, who was clearly hypno-programmed, to do the deed. That's why the deed was done by somebody else with a shot from behind at close range, as most people know who study that assassination. So the idea that they're going to find, you know, extremely disturbed, you know, unstable people online, then groom them and then entrust them to do this killing, I think, in my opinion, is absurd. Now, I'm not saying that it never happens, but we have to look at each case by case by case. And here's the other thing that I've come across going back to, you know, whenever. At first, they were making up the victims and the perpetrator. In other words, time after time, people like Miles Mathis, Ole Domegaard, and other researchers were finding that the named perpetrator and the named victims, and that's what we got to go on. Okay, we're not there. We don't see anybody shot. We don't see any dead bodies. I don't see anybody in a coffin being lowered into the ground. So I'm going to doubt it from the get-go. Okay. And so therefore, what do we have to go on? We have to go on the resources that we have, and that might include still photos, it might include video, but it also includes online research. Okay. Now, in the case of Vegas, as you know, Jim, Mona Alexis Presley found time after time that the victims that they were naming in many cases were already dead. Okay. Died somewhere else at a different time. So they're
from other estates and other causes of death. Yes, Paul. Yes.
Right. So what they started to do, they started getting smarter, and they said, okay, we're gonna actually, quote, kill real people that are actually in the databases that we didn't make up, but they actually couldn't kill real people because that's not what they do. Let's face it. Again, I'm not saying that everything is fake all the time, but what I'm saying is this. Killing an actual human being, okay, that exists is a very problematic thing from a number of points of view. So if you're going to run these psychological operations for processing us, which is what they're trying to do all the time, then it's much easier just to fake them. That's my opinion. I go back to the time some people used to ask me, why would they fake the moon landings? And, you know, the question used to stun me because I would always say, well, because they couldn't go. So for now, I'll leave that. Thanks, Jim.
Paul, let me just add on Sirhan. Sirhan, yeah, he was subjected to hypnosis. He was a distraction. See, when everyone's looking at this guy is firing off all these shots or ignoring the security guard who's shooting Bobby behind the right ear from an inch and a half. So, I mean, that was all part and parcel of the whole scheme. Now, no one has done more thorough work on Boston than Brian Davidson, who's a licensed private investigator in Texas. And I love what he has done. And, Brian, I want you to just discuss. Because what, Paul, the most important point you made is this. We have to look at every single case individually. We have to look at the evidence and ascertain on the basis of the evidence what happened there. And I'm glad to vindicate to find some of these are authentic. If they were authentic, I'd be reporting them. But if they're authentic, also, they're not interesting and worthy of being reported if they're simply authentic, unless it's a complex and controversial case like those we're discussing. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate the discussion, and obviously we all have, or at least we all started out with doubt. There's a lot of pressure around these events, and I kind of want to start the conversation out talking about the human mind. when the human mind has two opposing ideas, this is real or this is fake, for example, competing, it runs into something called cognitive dissonance. It's literally a lack of harmony in the mind. There's confusion, there's concern, there's anxiety. Is it real? Is it fake? I can't make up my mind. I don't have the skill set. I haven't done the research. I don't know. So that's idea number one. Idea number two is groupthink. Okay, so now I'm gonna step into a little different realm. Okay, do you know why a social credit score works? Social credit scores work because what they do is they get groups of people to coagulate around a central idea or a central concept. And the closer you get to the center of that circle of people, the higher your social credit score goes. When you begin to separate from that group and get to the outer edges, your social credit score goes down. And when you step out of the circle altogether, your social credit score hits rock bottom. Social credit scores are about getting people to coagulate around a central idea and a central purpose and a central idea. Now, these psyops rely very, very heavily on groupthink. Well, if the majority of the people believe it, it must be true. I can't be the only crazy one out here. I know I'm not crazy. I watch the news. I therefore am informed. I therefore know what's going on. And the news says it's real. And my neighbors say it's real. And my coworkers say it's real. So that groupthink weighs very, very heavily on what's taking place. Now, I am a private investigator. So I like to put together puzzles. And I think one thing that we can all agree, the only reason we're having this conversation is that anomalies exist in each of these events. Anomalies that are very, very difficult to explain if it's a real event. Why are these people laughing on camera? How come we don't see bullet holes here? Why isn't there enough blood since blood is under pressure? How come this guy fell down and played dead when he wasn't even shot at? How did these bullets go around these corners and hit these people? Why is there a shoe sitting right in? So there are questions and anomalies, but instead of taking our time here today to zoom in on each anomaly and try to explain it, what I want you to understand is what I do, is I put the pieces together until I can explain all of the events, all of the anomalies. That doesn't mean that I have all the answers. Why this, why that, what this, what. It doesn't mean that I know, oh, this is CGI and this is not, this is right and this is wrong. I simply don't have the time or the energy to go that deep, nor do I care to. It's a waste of my time because I already knew. Now, going back to the concept of cognitive dissonance. Now, I was, in 2016, my sister said around April, she said, hey, you ought to take a look at this Sandy Hook thing. Something's not quite right. You're a private investigator. I'd like you to look into it. April, so I go back to my office, and I start reading a little bit here and a little bit there, and I start looking at Jim's work, and I start seeing Wolfgang Halbig's work. I'm like, huh, there's a lot there. That seems to make a lot of sense. That really does make sense, but I just don't simply buy it all because the gun control, it's just gun control, gun control, gun control. Something didn't ring true with me. And then in June of 2016, I saw the Orlando Pulse nightclub happen right in front of my eyes. Now, I'm a guy that went home from work and listened to Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and did Fox News, and I thought I was pretty well informed. Hey, I know what's going on. I can read the newspapers, and I can look at the Drudge Report, and I can do this. But this thing that I saw happen at Orlando, this Norman Cassiano lifting up his shirt on television during an interview from the passenger seat of a Honda Civic, claiming to have been shot 6 times in the abdomen and showing a piece of white gauze taped to his gut, that anomaly bothered me. And I needed to explain it. Now, the groupthink was saying, hey, all the faggots were killed in the Pulse nightclub. The groupthink, well, this is terrible. The groupthink, the groupthink, the groupthink. And so I started saying, hey, wait a second. Maybe the groupthink is wrong because I have to explain this anomaly. And so I busted loose and started doing my own critical thinking. I broke loose from the group, the social credit score, the crowd, and I stepped outside. And I started thinking and operating and acting independently. And this is how I managed to create a massive treasure trove of information about why these events take place, how they're executed, who is involved. I look at details because I'm trying to explain anomalies. So that said, that's my framework. And I feel like for everyone that I sit down and study, and I didn't bother with Alan, I don't have time for it. I get paid a lot of money to take good care of my clients. I don't give a damn anymore. I know that these things aren't fake. I know it. I know it 1,000 times over. I don't even need to remind you how much I know. But my point is, when one breaks loose from the groupthink and when one breaks loose from the media and does their own independent analysis, the cognitive dissonance begins to set in as those two opposing ideas begin to clash. They begin to clash. Now, you've got to let one or the other win if you want to have peace. If you want to be in turmoil all the time, let them fight in your mind.
So are you a private investigator and a psychologist?
Oh, you've had enough. Okay.
Yes, you've been going on for 5 years.
Well, you're going on a little bit more, Brian. I mean, you're kind of wandering around a little bit. I kind of agree with, I mean, we need to.
Well, look. Brian's got so much to say about Buffalo because he's applied scientific methods of analysis, including, you know, the shadow analysis. It turns out the video was constructed at two different time periods. We got a fraudulent driving around. It's modeled after New Zealand. New Zealand is just so phony. I can't believe anyone who's ever watched a video could be taken in. You got CGI for the cartridge ejection, never hits the ground, never the town to metal. You got people being shot point blank and there's no blood. You walk into a room and there's already a stack of bodies in New Zealand. I mean, that was such a farce that they will fine you $10,000 in New Zealand for even having a copy of the video on your computer because it's such a joke. It's like an animation. And Buffalo is modeled after New Zealand, just as Uvalde was modeled after Sandy Hook. Now, Mike, I want to bring you back in because you haven't had a chance to speak for a while. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And, it's interesting. Cognitive dissonance, all that. It's all real. But what I'm trying to make is this. It's not preposterous at all to groom somebody, especially like in the last shooting in Allen, Texas, when you had a guy that was, from what we know, he had been trained in security. He was known to fire weapons. You can be mentally unstable and still know how to shoot. It's easier to cover up when you're doing an operation. And you have a background in philosophy, Jim. I mean, you know how this works. You have to look at all the evidence and look at what's most likely and what's least likely from a rational point of view. And the most likely scenario is you have a person who's trained and who's been neutralized and gotten rid of after the event. So you have very little people involved. So it's easier to cover up. The government doesn't care about killing people. They kill people every day. They kill people in wars for profit all the time. The government is evil. They kill people all the time. So when you look at it from a rational standpoint, you have hundreds of people involved in the PSYOP who are crisis actors who are getting paychecks and have to sign NDA, just non-disclosure agreements, or you have about four people that can run a whole event and get the news coverage and get the problem reaction solution that they wish for. That's much easier to manage, and it's also easier to scrub. Now, point number two, Brian made some great points there, but I didn't hear any evidence. I mean, you know, you say you don't have time to really present the evidence today because you have a good job and you're not going to waste your time. I mean, where's the evidence you're talking about? I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, that was about Allen. That was about. Hang on, Brian. That was about Allen, Texas. Well, okay. You know, I'm open to further discussion.
Boston,
Danny's been doing
most
of the work. Hang on a minute. Brian has done superb work on Buffalo, and it was Clint who wanted to make Buffalo front and center. I think that's a really good idea because Buffalo was such a joke that I'm just kind of floored. Anyone, especially if you've looked at the analysis Brian and I have done together, would take it seriously. I mean, it's as phony as a $3 bill. You even got a crisis actor witness who claims he spoke with a white supremacist the day before the shooting. They talked for an hour about critical race theory, and he bought him a Gatorade. Scorpio, when we discuss this, what self-respecting racist is going to spend an hour talking with a black guy about critical race theory? And then he said, then he said the second shot happened 1.7 seconds after the first. So what did he do? Have a stopwatch there? How would he know when the first shot was going to hurt her? Who's timing to the tenth of a second? With it? This was so frankly absurd, I can't believe any of you would seriously take it. I mean, I'm just floored by that. Now, go ahead.
Let me jump in real quick.
Number two, the reason he didn't see a lot of blood.
Hang on. We can't have everybody. Mike, you go first, and I guess it's Paul.
All right.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right. The reason you don't have a lot of blood, for instance, when in the Buffalo shooting, let's start talking about Buffalo stuff. All right. So in the Buffalo shooting, he exits the vehicle. He starts firing the gun. That's a high velocity weapon. Number one, the first lady that he hit fell like a sack of potatoes. Okay. And that was the realest thing I've ever seen. Now, unless that was a crisis actor with a rubber parking lot thing for her to fall on in a Castle Rock studio, that would be the only way to explain it. The reason you don't see a lot of blood is because when a bullet, I've been hunting for many years. I've fired a lot of weaponry. I know how it works. A high velocity weapon does what's called a clean through, a clean shot through. You're not going to have massive amounts of blood at the speed that bullet is going through the mass or the body. You're not going to have a lot of blood. And it can actually go through somebody and actually enter into another person. That's how fast it goes. And then, you know, the two homeless people by the entrance of the store, that's easy to explain. They were homeless people sitting at the entrance of the store. Some of the other facts that were brought up about the Buffalo was all the cars that looked like they were junk cars in the parking lot. It was in the hood. I used to live in the hood. They're junk cars always left in parking lots to abandoned and stranded with duct tape on the windows and all
true.
Kinds of ridiculous stuff. I mean, come on. You know,
Paul, that's you want true, to add yeah. something before we go back to Brian and Paul?
Sure. Paul. So, you know, here's the thing. We're all basically not privy to the evidence, right? So, I mean, your case is illustrative of that point, Jim, that the death certificate was the evidence of death, you know? And so, therefore...
Okay, stand by. You know, hold that thought, Paul. We got a break. We'll come back to Paul right after this break. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is that Jim Fetzer, your host. We're having a discussion with Mike Sledge, Clint Eastwood, Paul Huff, Brian Davidson about the authenticity of some of these false flag events. Everyone agrees they're false flag. The question, were any of them real in the sense of having real participants, real deaths? Brian and I are very skeptical. Paul tends to side with us. But Mike and Clint are putting up a valiant effort. Paul, go ahead with your further thoughts.
Right. So to continue, again, you know, we're not privy to what evidence there might be. So, for example, we're essentially talking about a news event that's been presented to us, you know, and let's face it, a GoPro or a live stream or whatever is still, you know, going to be a news event. And I mean, it's not a stretch of the imagination to think that these people can manipulate anything and everything. That's why just because something's on the police activity channel, or it's a body cam of a supposed cop, that doesn't, in my opinion, add authenticity to it in and of itself. Because you have to remember, you know, underneath, you know, what paradigm are we operating in which we live? You know, one of the reasons I enjoy stuff like this, and I mean, again, I'm just going to say this here, is this is something that's useful and enjoyable because we're all very, very intelligent people. I'm among my peers. Everybody here is known to me and to each other, I believe. And, you know, you can't do this anywhere else. I mean, all my life I walk around, I try to wake people up, and most of the time they just look at you the way, you know, a dog looks at you when they don't quite understand what you're trying to say. You know, cognitive dissonance is a nice term. It's another way of looking at it is so many people are just suckers and dim-witted. I mean, I go back to the 90s where a client said to me, I was trying to wake him up to something, I forget what it was. And this is before I knew even half or even a third what I know now, back in the 90s. He says, well, Paul, that can't be true, because if it was, I would see it on the CBS Evening News. That is a direct quote from a grown man, a very professional, educated man that was a client of mine. So this is the world in which we live.
Yeah, Paul, listen, I pulled up the video from the Buffalo shooting, which is, of course, modeled after New Zealand. You got him driving around in a car. You got the same phony painted up weapons. You got a failure of shell ejection. You got artificial. I'm going to play it and then invite Brian and then go back to Mike and Clint. It's relatively short. Here we go. He's driving into the parking lot. Top supermarket, Buffalo, New York. Stops the car. Gets out. Points at the woman. She falls down. That's the key to it. Here, I'm going to play it one more time. Driving in. Doesn't take much time at all. Just very much modeled after New Zealand, even with the same style type weapon all painted up. Gets out, fires at a woman. She falls. Others fall. Continues firing. We get what seem to be bullet holes in the glass. Goes inside. Continues shooting. Winds up finding someone who's right at point blank range. Fires. You get a puff of air. I mean, we are about to see it here. This is the idea that this could be authentic is just astounding to me. Look, right here. Here we go. Puff of air, no head, blowing apart like a melon, continue shooting. Okay, that's a basic footage. I want to give Brian a chance to talk about it because he's done such thorough dissection of all of this. Brian, your thoughts.
Without doing a full frame by frame, which I did do, there's anomalies there that have to be explained. And I think the only way to explain them very simply is that it was a fabricated false event. And I think that the persuasive nature of the evidence that I've presented in a frame-by-frame analysis should be enough to convince any independent, critically thinking person who's been unplugged from the matrix. However...
Okay, well, wait.
Hang on. Paul, give me a sec. Let Brian finish his thought. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. I finished my thought.
Paul.
So look, here's what I would say. We've all seen the footage. Okay, I've seen it. Clint's seen it. Mike has seen it. I'm going to admit, okay, so this stuff does look real. Now, it looks less like a video game than Christchurch. To me, Christchurch looked like a video game, all right? This looks a little bit less like it. And admittedly, when you look at some of this stuff, it has that feel, that look of, okay, this could be real. I'm not saying that is not true, but it's, to me, again, the troubling aspect of all of this, they're getting better, okay? I mean, I really do think that they are learning, because when we first started unraveling these things, right, it was easier. I remember starting in about, 2014, I myself first started looking into stuff, you know, a couple years after Sandy Hook, and there were so many more people doing it online, even on YouTube, but all those channels are gone now, but there was multiple people on YouTube and other places that would immediately begin deconstructing it. And I really do believe that they are learning from this and doing it a little bit cleaner, but they still make mistakes. So I don't know if I agree with every point that Brian's ever made on this particular shooting. It is quote unquote suspicious, but again, I'd have to see, I'm at the point now, I'm probably similar to you, Jim. I'd have to see dead bodies. And I'll just make a quick comment, and then maybe you can throw it back to Mike and Clint. So Mike said something to me the other day in a conversation because I brought up Dylan Storm Roof and that whole event, which I was thoroughly convinced was, of course, phony and false and a fraud and false flag, right? Well, he said to me that he knew a woman that he worked with that claimed she knew somebody that got shot at that church, and that he also said that this woman had to get a day off of work to go to the funeral. Now, while that's not evidence in and of itself, of course, it's kind of like, okay, what can you say to that, right? So what do you,
they had fake stage heroes at Sandy Hook. The coffins were empty. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, having a funeral means nothing. They have the footage of Dylan allegedly entering the church at 0800. Someone mistakenly thought that meant 8 p.m., but it means 8 a.m. They couldn't even get their basic... They got this open casket, and the guy doesn't look anything like the minister. Looks like some sort of Haitian. I mean, these things are ridiculously bad. Now, with regard to Buffalo, Clint's now saying, well, why don't we look at it frame by frame? But Brian did that. He went through it frame by frame, so I'm not quite sure. Clint, I want you to have a chance here to say your piece. Go right ahead, Clint.
Well, I mean, you're getting one side of the story. You're seeing one person's perspective, but the anomalies that haven't been named, and I get that might be in the essence of time, but, you know, this idea that this woman's head didn't explode like a watermelon. I mean, look, I've had a lot of experience with firearms. Like, it doesn't work like Hollywood movies or video games, okay? The fact that some of this stuff looks like video games to some people is because these younger kids, that's their model for how to do stuff, is Call of Duty. So there's simple explanations for all this, and because I know everyone's going to want to butt in, okay? A GoPro costs $50 to $100 to start live streaming, okay? A functioning AR with ammo and mags is $400 to $500. Anybody can do this, and I'm not for that. I'm saying it is not expensive to set up these things and groom mentally unstable people in this insane asylum of a country.
Sure. I think we could all agree to that. In fact, it turns out a minuscule number of the shootings in the country are involved rifles, and a smaller percentage of the AR. They're just out to demonize the AR because it's the most effective all-purpose. If you want to deal with a tyrannical government or invading army, the AR-15 is going to be the weapon of choice. And there are, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 million, 30 million owners of AR-15. But the overwhelming majority of murders are committed with handguns. And they're not demonizing handguns. They're demonizing these few number of events, and because there aren't enough of them, they're staging them to manufacture evidence to promote their gun control agenda. But ironically, because they began by wanting to defund the police with all the riots and looting and arson and all that nonsense, the American people got the message, if you can't defend yourself, you can't count on the police. So that gun sales have skyrocketed after these events. Mike, go ahead. Your thoughts, Mike.
Hold on. Let me. I need to say something real quick. All right. Well, I mean, for instance, in the Dylan Roof shooting,
I'm sorry, Mike. Clint wanted to add a few words, so he was speaking over you. Go ahead, Clint.
Okay. It's actually, with all due respect, you're wrong. Okay. You can buy as many rifles as you want at a gun store. You can only buy one handgun a month in most states unless you have a concealed carry permit. So actually, handguns have already been more demonized legally than rifles. You can buy as many rifles as you want.
I'm talking about the commission of crimes, for God's sake. Criminals aren't getting legally acquired weapons. You know better than this. My point is impeccable. The overwhelming majority of guns involving shooting involve guns that are handguns, not rifles, but they're trying to demonize a rifle. Not legally. I'm talking about an actual fact of commission of crimes in the street. They're done with handguns overwhelmingly.
They've already demonized handguns.
Clint, you're just being silly. If you can't see that they're out to get the AR-15, Clint, kindly. Mike, go ahead. Mike, your thoughts. Mike.
Well, okay. In the Dylan Roof shooting, for instance, you know, I worked in Augusta at the time, and I was in a managerial position in a marketing company, and it's pretty close to Charleston. And I actually knew a black lady that worked for me who her aunt died in that event. Now, she got the phone call. When her aunt died, I was at work. She broke down. She had to take a lot of time off, by the way. And she went to the funeral, and she visited me at work a couple of days after and actually showed pictures of the funeral on her phone to me. So now, I understand they could fake funerals, but what happened to this lady's aunt? Did she go on witness protection or something?
I can't give you the answer to that.
Yeah, Brian, Paul,
did you want to add a few words?
I mean, this something similar happened to me one time with the Gilroy Garlic Festival shooting, which many people right away started to break down, said it was fake. And I jumped on the bandwagon because I heard audio and I watched some of their videos. And this is something I was saying one time at the coffee shop near my house. And this guy got real angry. Went, oh, I know so-and-so and their little boy died. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I don't, how can I respond to that? I can't, you know.
I can't. Well, I can tell you how many Mona Alexis Presley has followed up. We get reports of somebody who knew somebody and we followed up and it never pans out. And as she did her research on the obituaries, the individuals from Las Vegas, They were to the extent to which they weren't merely Photoshop variations, so you had the same party represented more than once. They turned out to be based on person who died in different states on different dates and from different causes of death.
Right.
Brian.
Right.
Brian. No. Brian.
Guys like that, when they have a conflict in their mind, and a lot of people do, it's very difficult for a person to admit that they've been deceived, that everything that they've believed, that they've seen from the media, that everything that they've known could be not what it appears to be. They think, people think of themselves as pretty smart. People think of themselves at least as well educated. And it's very difficult to break loose from that and admit that you've been deceived. Mark Twain said, it's easier to convince somebody.
To fool a man. To fool a man than to convince him he's been fooled. Yeah.
We got all that, yeah.
That's what these are meant for. Now, the big question is why? Why? You know, I am no longer of the opinion that it's strictly about gun control. I think it's all about money. The more I've learned about these things, the more I see the laws that come afterwards, the more I see all the sheeple going in and protesting for more security laws and for more gun laws and for rebuilding schools and for doing
what? Whoa, wait a minute. Nobody's protesting.
Hang on. Let Brian finish it, Scott. I've given everyone equal time here. Let Brian finish his thought, for God's sake. Let Brian finish his thought. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay.
I was
reacting to what he said. Excuse me for one second. Sorry. All right. Thanks. I had to clear my throat. I was reacting to something he said, which he said people are protesting for more gun laws. What? No. This is all fake media protesting. There's not any real authentic protesting for gun laws. That's all. That was my reaction to that statement.
I think that's correct, Paul. Let's go back to Mike and Clint. Mike, go ahead. Your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, again, so I break down my evidence. I tried to keep it short and sweet with my end of this conversation. It's been an honor to come here. But so point one, high velocity weaponry will make clean shot through. There'll be very little blood at the velocity it's going. Number two, people die every day. The government kills people all the time. Number three, from a philosophy standpoint, from a rational standpoint, weighing the evidence on both sides and coming to the rational center, like I try to do in most of these discussions, is it's easier to manipulate a false flag event with the smaller number of people than it is a larger number of people. I think when you're dealing with massive amounts of crisis actors, it makes the event more compromised and harder to control than it is with just a few people grooming one handler that they've zoned in on. Number three, I think that with the camera angles and the footage, going back to the GoPro, and most of these events, they're using cheap GoPros. I've live streamed live in the past, and it's very difficult to live stream a clean stream on the internet, even if you got good equipment. So it's going to be shoddy. You're going to have interruptions. And by the way, Twitch did cut the live stream. If it was completely fake, Twitch would have let it go. They wouldn't have cut the live stream. That's another thing to consider.
No,
but anyway,
I don't think you can make those presumptions. They wouldn't fade to black on 9/11 for crying out loud because you had the nose out phenomenon. I mean, you know, it was fake and they're trying to cover up the fakery. So I don't want to suggest you're begging the question, but that does certainly cross my mind. Now, you thought there were 20,000 crisis actors? No, they brought in about 500. Most of the people were authentic.
Yeah.
And when they turned over their video and their cell phone footage to the FBI wiped it clean in Las Vegas. I mean, I'm telling you.
Right.
Well, I mean, you just proved my point. They wipe information clean all the time, going back to when I called in at the beginning of the show. It's easier to wipe one person's information than it is to wipe 500 people's information.
I don't quite follow the argument.
Jim, you cannot
mix crisis actors and real killing because you're not going to get anyone to sign up as a crisis actor. I mean, for God's sake,
You can't have these mixed events
as some claim. Yeah,
Jim, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it, regardless of who dies or anybody dies, it's harder if you're running a PSYOP. Okay, it's still a PSYOP. It's still propaganda. It's still lies. It's still garbage. So it's harder to control 500 people in a PSYOP than it is four people.
No, that's not true.
Rationally looking at it, just the numbers, you know for a fact it's easier to control four people than it is 500. Come on.
No, that's true. No, that's true. But here's the thing, Mike. So, again, I agree with most everything Mike just said, most everything. But having said that, okay, you're sort of rebutting your own argument when you talk about this, because they used huge amounts of crisis actors in many of these things, right? In Boston bombing, right? In Sandy Hook, in Vegas. It's a very large crowd. It wasn't just three or four. So, again, they're willing to do whatever it is they do to pull off the event they want to pull off, okay? So, again, we're all going on presumptions. Let's face it. You know, a lot of this stuff is very unprovable. Some of them are more obvious than others, but we're all going on presumptions. On the one side, where there's a presumption, Jim and I mostly, that it's probably fake or it's going to be fake until proven otherwise. And you guys are going on a presumption, at least with these, that they're real and or they're hybrids.
Paul, I appreciate all that, but I'm an evidence guy. I believe in logic, reasoning. I have championed collaborative research, bringing together the best expert to sort out what happened. I'm a truth junkie. I want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. If I were wrong about these, I would be glad to be convinced, and I would admit it. I got played on an aspect of Sandy Hook. I came forward and admitted I'd been played as soon as I discovered. Clint, your thoughts. Clint.
Jim, earlier in the show, you said that if these events were not fake, you wouldn't be interested in them. So I'm asking, why is it not interesting if there are these mass murder events in this country, and why is it only interesting to you if they're fake?
No. Come on. Don't get silly. I'm looking at these complex, controversial events. I began with JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, and so on, that the government is using to promote its political agenda. Those are the cases that are interesting. If there were mass... Well, Orlando is an obvious... The permit for the club expired 3 years before. They repainted the building from white to black. It was closed. Anyone who buys into Orlando is just a sap. I'm not willing to be a sap. I'm willing to put my resources together to apply to sort out the truth from the false so the public can better understand how they're being played. If there is a bona fide mass murder, God, yeah, sure, I'm interested in that as a bona fide mass murder, but it doesn't require me to expose it because the government's the media's already blasting it everywhere if there were a legit mass murder. And I'm not quite sure what you have in mind exactly, Clint, but I think you misconstrued my point.
Jim, Nick Fuentes was actually at the Pulse nightclub shooting. He was there.
Hang on. We got two again. I was going to Clint. Clint first. Clint first.
I'm trying to keep it short, like a real debate.
Clint, go ahead. Clint.
So if Vegas was real and, you know, all those people died, okay, and it wasn't Stephen Paddock, it was some other patsies, and there was an ulterior agenda going on there, would you still find that interesting?
Of course. Of course. Of course. Do you have any idea how much I've done on Las Vegas? We got a certain army surgeon has said it's fake. We got a other medical expert it's fake. We got no autopsies. They put together phony autopsies.
Yelling is not an argument.
I'm pointing out evidence that shows Las Vegas was totally fraudulent. If Las Vegas had been legit, I would have arrived at that conclusion. I am interested in the truth. I'm not interested in fantasies. What are you saying?
Why don't you point out the evidence while we're talking so we can critique it?
Wait, let me address that.
Oh, look, I have done so much. I don't know if I even knew we were going to get into Las Vegas, but there's all kinds of evidence that can be put up. I mean, how many times do I have to do it? Let me tell everyone, just pull the rug out from under what Clint's saying here. Go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org. Look for Jim the Conspiracy. Shush. Go to Jim. Look, do you want to stay on the show, Clint, or not? Let me finish my point. All right, Clint, let's get that hit.
He's retarded. Go back to the Matrix, dude. Brian, you're a moron. Okay, all right. Hey, the last time you shot an animal, did it die instantly?
Okay, so listen, you know, I don't want this. I was a little bit wary about this kind of stuff happening, but I thought, what the heck, you know, let's just go ahead. But again, I do not like the premise that Clint just engaged in, right? I mean, would you be interested if it was real and it wasn't fake? I don't like that at all. Jim, you were right with what you said, but I just don't, you know, the yelling and all that. I get it. People get emotional.
Hang on, Brian. Let Paul finish. Paul, go ahead. I think you're making an important.
Yeah. So again, I also was uncomfortable as well with what Clint was saying there and what he was doing, trying to undermine the idea that, well, okay, if it was real, you would pay no attention, but since it's fake, you're interested. That's a go nowhere proposition. I didn't like that, so I'm sorry that occurred. We're just trying to have a real discussion about these things. But all the detail is there. Here's another thing, and Clint is probably still listening, and I have probably said stuff like this to him on the phone, and I would say it to him in person as well. That, you know, if you haven't done the research, if you haven't looked into something, you don't really have, you know, in my opinion, that strong of a platform to speak on it. You can give your opinion, but that's it, right? In other words, if you've never studied the JFK assassination, then, you know, what are you talking about it for? Okay, so I spent a lot of time on Las Vegas. You did too, Jim, okay? I probably did not spend anywhere near the time you did or Mona did, right? But I've looked at the evidence. And you know, it reminds me of the people that always used to say, oh, you can't believe everything you read. Well, these people have, in my experience, always been people that don't read. The people that say, oh, you can't believe everything on the internet. These are people that don't spend time accessing content and study, okay, over and over again. And all my life, I've loaned out books, I've loaned out pamphlets, I've loaned out videotapes, and I have to have them returned.
Okay, stand by, Paul. We'll pick it up when we come back, and we'll take your calls. 540-352-4452 after this break. We'll be right back with Paul and Mike, assuming he's still here.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, I got a problem here because, I muted Clint because he wasn't allowing me just to give you a reference where you can look at the evidence in detail, which is that if you go to jameshfetzer.org and look for JimTheConspiracyGuy.com or the 65 shows, you can find a whole lot of these laid out in spades. New Zealand, it runs like an hour and a half, hour and 45. I mean, he says, look at the evidence. Well, that's incredibly tedious and time-consuming. I do that again and again and again, but not here on this show when we got five or six participants because everyone's entitled to get the word in edgewise and so forth. Clint was so pissed off that he just dropped off. Well, that's his privilege. And let me say, I have complete respect for these guys. If they want to believe Buffalo was real, that's okay with me. If they want to disbelieve what Brian and I and Danny have done on all these false flags, that's okay with me. Everyone is entitled to make up their minds for themselves. Paul had the inspiration because he knew from his contact with these guys that they were skeptics about some of the work I and Brian and Danny and Scott Bennett and others have done on Las Vegas and Buffalo and I presume Uvalde and Nashville. Honestly, it is to me a bit mind-boggling that individuals of the intelligence of Clint and Mike and Scorpio should have any doubts about when we go about laying the evidence out in such a meticulous, systematic fashion. But there it is. Everyone's entitled to make up their minds for themselves. Now, I have opened the line. I'm going to come back to Paul here. And if we have... If we have any callers, I'm going to look to see 540-352-4452. Mitchell, we'll take your call, get you on the air, and we'll talk about it. Paul, back to you. Paul. Paul, are you there?
Sorry, I had to do something. I just unmuted right now. Yes, sure. Thanks, Jim. It's one of those things where it bears talking about. There's no doubt about it. But the fact that I want to emphasize, and I think Mike appreciates this, I think Clint does as well, but maybe to a lesser extent than Mike and I do, that you, this is what you do day in and day out. This is why I respect you. I don't always agree with you. You and I have had many disagreements, as well known. Most, a lot of times it's because of my manners on air, and I get that, and you've been very gracious about that in the past. So, you know, we've had very few fundamental disagreements. Okay. But to me, I look at these things, in a particular way, which is this: they want us to believe them. And I'm not saying that they're all fake. Okay. But I have a problem believing them. Now, Buffalo is a little bit, less clear cut than some of the others. I mean, to me, Las Vegas is easy. There's a lot of work on it. And if you think that Las Vegas was real, I think you need to do more work. Okay, it's kind of like people that have questioned me about reading Miles Mathis. Now, again, I made clear I don't agree with everything he says, everything he writes. I don't agree with all his conclusions. But I've read more papers that Miles Mathis has done than anybody here. okay? And I've done it consistently, and I've read a lot of them twice. I've read at least 40 to 50 of his PDFs now, and I'm talking sure. about from beginning to end, and probably a minimum of half of those PDFs I've read twice. So when people get in discussions with me, sometimes I can get impatient as well, because I feel like that my viewpoint on these things is pretty well cultivated. So I am open to the fact that Buffalo could have been real. I'm suspicious about it. I personally don't believe it, but I could be convinced. The one in Nashville with the tranny shooting the school, I don't believe that. You would have to hit me over the head a million times to convince me that somebody's going to go shoot little children at a school. Okay, and who does that? All right? And, you know, Clint can say all the time, oh, the government kills people all the time. They don't got a problem doing it. Yeah, that's true. But that's not evidence. That's not what we're talking about. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of horrible things go on in this world, including firebombing cities. That's occurred, including drone strikes. All that stuff is true. The government, so-called, has no problem killing people. But that doesn't really bear on the discussion we're having. So having said that, yeah. I'll turn it over
let me
to you.
Bring, yeah. let me bring back Mike, assuming he's still there. Mike, if you're hanging in, please do give us your further thoughts.
Yeah, I'm still here. And look, just to stick up for Clint a little bit here. I've known the guy for a long time. We do shows together. He's a very smart individual. And he's done a lot of research into JFK, RFK, all these shootings. He is a gun expert. A lot of people don't know that about him. He knows a lot about what he's talking about. He's got a lot of experience in weaponry and firearms. You know, I think he was frustrated mainly because the Zoom sucks so bad. You can barely hear anybody. I hate Zoom. That's why I call in. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Look, you know, the bottom line is this, is that, look, I believe, going back to the beginning of the show, that the Vegas was a false flag. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I have no doubt that these were staged events. The question is does anybody die in the events? And what makes more sense from a rational standpoint? A lot of actors or a very small circle of people actually running an operation where very few people actually know what the operation is, which is traditionally how intelligence services actually work. It would be very sloppy for my research of intelligence agencies and intelligence black bag operations for them to do an event where there's a lot of people that can be easily be compromised down the road. I think that is a very risky situation. And from weighing evidence standpoint here, I mean, well, I go back to the statement and I think it bears repeating. It's easier to manipulate an event and control an event with a smaller amount of people than is a large group of people. And the fact that crisis actors, I mean, getting back to this, the government kills people all the time. Well, you know, who would go into a school and shoot little kids? Well, what kind of system would inject little kids and promote little kids getting injected by a death shot, which they'll probably die from down the road? I mean, this government in the last 3 years has been shown its intentions when it comes to children. They moved the vaccine so you could shoot up toddlers and kids and little babies with this garbage, with this poison. This system wants to kill people. The more people that die, the better off that they feel, because it's about control and it's about death. The more deaths they do as a sacrifice, the more power they get. It says black magic and mind control on a level that a lot of people cannot even fathom. So,
right.
Look, I stand by my position.
That's a great point.
Okay. All right.
That's a great point. That's a great point about the vaccination program, but it's a little different animal to have what you would call unwitting nurses and doctors and pharmacists injecting something that they think is good versus somebody who premeditatedly intends to go and shoot children. So there's like apples and oranges, but your point is excellent. I totally agree with that.
Well, not really, because here in Georgia, there was a case a couple weeks ago where, thank God it didn't happen, but there was a trans person in the Atlanta area that they caught before he was able to pull it off, or it was able to pull it off. These people are mentally ill, okay? They are mentally ill, and they're extremely violent, extremely violent. I mean, terrorism exists, and the fact that a lot of these people are frankly indoctrinated with black magic and satanic philosophies, that is a fact. They have no problem sacrificing people. They have no problem killing kids. As a matter of fact, killing kids, going back to international Jewry and this Zog system we live in, sacrificing kids to Moloch and to their Judaic gods is, par for the course.
So I don't understand why that's so hard to believe.
I think that.
That's a good counterpoint. I got you.
I think it was a lesson they learned in the wake of 9/11 when you had these four widows in New Jersey who are persistent about having 9/11 hearings. Bush and Cheney didn't want to have any hearings. They were worried they would lead back to Cheney in particular, who appears to have been the executive director on the ground. They found that if you manage the whole event by hiring people and put them on do not disclosure, you can control it better. We have Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, all these others I've documented so thoroughly and published about. What floored me about Clint was, and the only reason I muted him was because he wouldn't let me make the response. He was talking over me, and then he decided to withdraw, which was his right. Is that we have done this in spades. I spent hours and hours and hours going through all the evidence in every one of these events we're talking about, less now, of course, on the most recent Allen, Texas, because we haven't had as much time. But I guarantee you, with regard to Las Vegas, New Zealand, Buffalo, Uvalde, Nashville, the evidence is overwhelming, as detailed, as meticulous, and it leaves no doubt about it. They were totally fraudulent, fake. Nobody died at any of those. Orlando, another illustration, just stunning stuff. So the evidence is all out there. And for Clint to say, well, why aren't we looking at the evidence when it's not a practical possibility, and when you ought to be familiar with the evidence already, because it's been out there for quite a long time in most cases. I found that inappropriate and just muted him so I could tell you where he could find it. Yeah, Paul. Paul.
Okay,
Paul.
All right. I was going to say, just let's not spend too much time on that little negative episode.
Yeah.
But what it reminds me of is they have us exactly where they want us, really. There's so much going on. There's so many layers. A lot of these things are so convoluted. I'm sure, Jim, you remember well the Mission Impossible TV series from back in the late 60s and the 70s where – you know, the whole thing was just like, wow, you know, at the end, it's like, oh, my God, you didn't see it coming because it was so, you know, interwoven. And, you know, when you first started to make your journey into the JFK assassination, I bet you felt a similar way. In other words, there's so much going on. And I think Oliver Stone had a line in his movie JFK where he said it's an enigma wrapped in a riddle or something like that. You know, it's very frustrating, but yeah, they got all the dummies fooled, believing whatever they say, and then everybody else, you know, we're debating it.
Yeah. Mike, are you there? If Mike's disappeared, Brian, your thoughts.
Well, I want to touch on one thing that was said, that, you know, this guy is a gun guy and he's a hunter. Okay, I am too. I cannot remember ever killing an animal where it fell down instantly dead with no blood and no heart continuing to pump at all. I mean, I've gotten heart shots before, but the body shivers. There's all sorts of things that are happening with the nervous system in the next few minutes after. When you take a close look at Buffalo, you take a look at any of these false flags, and what do you have? What is bar none common to all of these so-called deaths? Instant. Very little, if any, blood is even presented. In Sandy Hook, you got a good example where supposedly all these little children were killed in this little 3.5 by 4 foot bathroom. And according to the officer's report, he pulled all the kids out and laid them on the floor. Yet there is no blood on the floor where he says that he laid them. That, to me, is impossible. It would have been a bloodbath. Same with Las Vegas. It would have been a bloodbath. I do have video that originated from within the stadium from an unknowing participant who was just going to the concert. And she's videotaping everything that's happening in the field for over 7 minutes. And she managed to get that video out, posted on YouTube. Of course, it was gone within 48 hours, but thank God I had downloaded it. And she's looking over the whole crowd. And again, it's a grainy cell phone video. And she's narrating, and she's saying, hey, I see people laying down, but I don't see anybody actually injured. Why are they doing this? And she says out loud, I don't believe this. It doesn't sound real. It sounds like the stereo system. So the big problem at the end of the day with all of these things is that it's very difficult to admit that you've been deceived. And it's very difficult to admit that everything that you think you know could be wrong, and it all needs to be reevaluated. And that's when I see the normies and I talk to them in the local bar about this sort of stuff or whatever, they shy, they push away, their feet turn, their body language turns, they don't want to talk about, they don't want to be confronted with this thing, this idea that is so foreign. And it causes literal sickness in them when they have to confront it. That's what cognitive dissonance is, and that's why I was going over it. So all the people that say, hey, I know so-and-so, and they know so-and-so, those are all just people caught in the system, caught in the group thing. Those aren't people that are doing independent analysis like we are.
Paul?
I'm still here.
No, I mean, I...
Okay,
go ahead,
Mike. I thought you disappeared. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Give us your further thoughts.
I had a hard time on my mute button. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go.
I would say this. Look, all of us here, I respect everybody on this panel. And this has been a good show and a great conversation, a conversation between really friends and shit like that. And it's very important, you know, to have these discussions. But I would say this, to go back to some of Brian's points. Having been involved in hunting and that for years when I was younger, I can tell you there's tons of cases where there's very, very little blood when you kill a deer or an animal, because it depends where the shot's at. Now, if you're looking for a clean shot when you go hunting with a deer, you're going to try to hit it straight to the heart as a clean shot, and there's going to be very little blood in that instance, okay? Especially if you're using a 12-gauge and the type of buckshot you're using. It depends, but there will be very little blood if it's a clean shot. There's even less blood with a high velocity weapon that has the bullet coming from the weapon at such a high speed that it literally will go through a body with very little blood coming out. And it can even go through another body who's in close proximity behind that person that goes through the first time. And let me tell you, that is scientific. That is true. That is real. And look, I actually saw a guy get shot in real life and die. And there wasn't a bunch of blood. Like, it wasn't like in a movie, like a Quentin Tarantino movie with a bunch of blood laying around this person. Okay. I saw it at a nightclub in Atlanta a long time ago when I was younger. There wasn't a lot of blood around this person. Yeah, there was blood, but not a lot. Again, most people that haven't had experience with weaponry or hunting or anything like that, or haven't actually seen a shooting in real life, base what they believe on movies and video games and these slasher movies with all this blood and gore. Real life doesn't look that way. It just doesn't look that way. It just doesn't.
Brian?
That's sometimes
true. So, I mean, you know, so there are instances where you're going to have...
Paul, hang on. I'm giving Brian a chance to respond to Mike. Hang on. Brian.
That wasn't me, Jim. I was on mute.
Okay.
Were those heart shots that she supposedly killed all those people with when she shot through two doors? Were those heart shots, brain shots, instantly killed? You've got all these shooters. No. They're all done. They're all done up in the ammo gear, and they've got all their military clothing.
Mike, hang on. Brian, do you want him to respond?
They can respond. I've killed plenty of hogs too, so there's both situations exist, but not where all of them don't bleed and instantly die when you're talking about a rapid fire scenario with a semi-automatic rifle that goes through windows and hits people. They're not all heart shots. They're not all instant kill shots.
Well, do you have pictures of the bodies and the blood from the event so we can see?
Out of the cabin.
Huh?
Mike, go ahead, repeat.
I can barely – do you have pictures of the bodies and the blood from the Las Vegas or any of these shootings? Do you have pictures, evidence of this?
From Las Vegas?
From any of them. I keep hearing there was no blood, there was this that happened, that happened. I want to see all the pictures that you guys are talking about.
Well, Buffalo was the case we've been talking about most extensively, and I played the video for that a couple of times.
It takes a few minutes for the, after you shoot somebody, blood just doesn't instantaneously just start pouring out. It takes a couple of minutes. So what you're seeing in the Buffalo shooting is you see somebody go down and the shooter moves on into the store to the next, to the next, to the next. It doesn't
circle
back.
Mike looked at the footage earlier and after. I mean, when the police show up and all that, and there are major time discrepancies in here. This whole thing was scissors and paste. I mean, it's embarrassing that anyone takes Buffalo seriously. I'm surprised by that, but you have the right to believe it, by God. Brian.
Well, I mean, I just want to see the photos. That's all I'm asking. I keep hearing evidence. Let me see the photos. Everybody keeps talking all this evidence. I want to see the evidence.
You want to see the bodies at Sandy Hook too, right? Hang on, we got a caller. We got a caller here from 913 area code. Caller, join the conversation. 913, please. Johnny,
well, I just want to say, yes. How you guys doing? I want to weigh in on this blood thing. Well, I tell you what, I'm a hunter and I shoot animals all the time. And I'm going to tell you now, it goes everywhere. You want to see, I'll even start filming it and sending it to you, where I shoot turtles and half of them come flying over me and blood's going everywhere. I'll even get video of it looking through my scopes where whenever I shoot birds and stuff, how the blood will splatter and spray all over everything. I know what it does. And not to mention, hey, how about the gun used in the Vegas shooting was a belt-fed gun. You never hear a magazine change. They already debunked all that stuff, man. We don't need to be talking whether or not blood was spilt or not. I mean, that's obvious. If you was point blank and you shot, maybe, but it's still going to be blood, man. Come on. Let's not play the dumb card.
It's not going to be blood.
Okay, whatever. Zealand shooting had no blood on it either. I mean, not a speck of blood.
I never said that. I never said there wasn't any blood. Okay, but here's the problem.
But you're going to see blood in firearms. I'll start recording videos of animal kills and showing you.
I'm not going to play devil's advocate.
This stuff is all staged.
You're just not
because I got to eat, brother. I kill animals.
Paul, let me bring you back in. Paul.
I eat turtles too, buddy.
Paul, give us a few thoughts of yours, Paul, as we wind down.
I was just listening. I just had the humorous thought about why he's shooting a poor turtle. But anyway, go on.
Turtles, snappers have six different kinds of meat. If you knew anything about food, you'd know that.
Yeah, they do. I don't know anything about food, bro.
Obviously. Mike,
You're persistent to weigh in on something you know nothing about. I like your style.
Whatever. Thank you.
Mike, go ahead. Take a moment here for a final thought, and I'll get Paul and Johnny and Brian.
Sure.
Mike.
Sure. Look, I agree with the caller, first of all. There is blood when you shoot animals. I never said that. What I was referring to was what I was referring to is this. I keep hearing a lot of people say that this happened at Sandy Hook, this happened at the Vegas shooting, this happened at this thing, this happened at this event, okay? But none of us have actually seen any ironclad photo evidence of any of these scenes, okay? That's what I'm saying, all right? It's not there. There's a lot of speculation. Everybody has their opinion. Everybody wants to stand fast by what they believe. But at the end of the day, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I do believe these mistakes, we all agree on that.
Brian's been into the Connecticut State Police files and found the absence of bodies, absence of blood, where the police claim there are bodies, there are blood. The absence of the effect implies the absence of the cause. Total bullshit. Johnny, go ahead. Okay. A brief thought yours, Johnny.
And I do agree with some of the statements made, but not all of them. But I'm not going to play devil's advocate. And if you want solid proof, how about using the sound recordings of the sound of the Vegas shooting and compare it to the MG42, and you will find it's the exact same gun. I mean, yeah, we got to stop playing stupid.
You're absolutely right. No, they ran a pre-recorded soundtrack of a machine gun firing.
Let's bring up the facts.
Paul, your final thought.
Everything is fake and gay. Nothing has ever happened.
That's about right.
Brian, your concluding reflections.
Photo that ran out of her in Las Vegas. And sure enough, in the background, and it's a nice high-quality photograph, here is a man holding a jar. Now, remember, he's at a concert. Here's a man holding a jar full of a dark red substance.
Gee, could it be fake mud?
I can find it. A jar full of a dark red substance. I've got it somewhere. My archives are so deep now that all the work that I've done, all the frame-by-frame analysis, I know what it
is. Look, in Vegas, we even have video of one of the directors coming in front of the crisis actors to redo the scene. It was supposed to be cut, but we got that even. It's all fake. I just want to thank Paul for having this inspired idea, bringing together Clint Eastwood and Mike Sledge, and we had Johnny Seals joining us, and Brian, I'm so glad to be here. Danny wishes he could have been, but I got his opinion out there front and center. This is all worth discussing. As I said before, I don't learn from those who agree with me, but from those who disagree, and I appreciate every contribution. That Clint chose to vacate is okay with me, and you guys, I respect your right to draw your own conclusion. We're simply doing our best, and by God, evidence-based reasoning, meticulous, detail by detail by detail. Check it out, jameshfetzer.org, Jim the Conspiracy Guy, the 65 shows. You'll find a whole lot about a whole lot of this. Thank you all for being here. Spend as much time this weekend with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. America's going down the tubes. They have fine breaks and put out.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...